It's just, I've stopped believing because I don't want to get hurt. That was interesting. She stopped believing is because she doesn't want to get hurt by God. Because you see, every time I believe something's going to happen and the result came back, I never got better. She says, Jeff, I just want to remain loving God, but I don't want to raise my hope and believe anymore. I just want to love God. And so that at least when people ask me about God, I say, yeah, I'm still a Christian. I still love God. But I don't want to go that space because I might just one day give up on God if we keep talking about believing and having faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, all of us might be familiar with. He says, of the three, faith, hope, and love. Which is the greatest? Love. But it didn't stop there. It is the greatest because the great commandment talks about love God and love one another. It starts with love. It's because God is love. And it is only our response to God that we love Him back. But then there is that hope and faith that we need to work on. You see, love is given to us, but hope and faith is something that we need to work on. Because at the end of the day, the Bible talks about in Luke chapter 18 says, when I come back, will I find faith? Will God find faith in your house when He comes back? Will God find faith in this house when He comes back? When God comes back and look at Marin Vineyard, will they look at, it's not the size. I mean, size matters is in terms of, yeah, we want to populate heaven and plunder hell. That's why we want to fill the churches with souls. Not bums on seats, but with souls. But you see, at the end of the day, when we stand before God, will God, when Jesus, or when we stand before Jesus, will He find faith in your house, in this house, in your heart? That is something that we all need to reflect and ponder, you know, because when I look at the two cases I just shared with you, one, Sue says, yeah, I'm still going to church, I'm still serving. And the other one says, don't go there, Jeff. See, it's easy to say that I love God because we don't see God. And it's an easy thing for us to say, yeah, God, you know, I love you. I used to say this, that someone taught me this, Christians don't lie, they just sing lies, you know, because they don't tell lies. They just sing, but they don't really believe sometimes. Love is the greatest. But hope and faith. Faith is what God is coming back to see. Will He find faith in us? So I want to share with you today, push in and flush out. All right? Push in and flush out. What is this all about? Plumbing? Oh dear. It's not the toilet bowl for sure. All right. So I'll start off with the question, when prayer seems unanswered, will faith still be found? That's the backstory I just shared with you. You see, if you were to sit down here and recall, are there any unanswered prayers in your life? Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure there are. I mean, I can tell you a few, all right? You pray, you go on your knees, you ask people to lay hands, you have the pastor to put oil on your forehead, you know, put oil on everywhere on you, and then you go back, and then again, the pain is still there. Or you've been praying for your exams, or you're praying for a job, and you're praying for a breakthrough, and then weeks, months, years, you still have a few unanswered prayers in your life. So my question then is, will God still find faith? Will you still have faith when you have unanswered prayers in your life? I'll start off with this story, Mark chapter 5. Jairus. All of us are familiar with Jairus. He started off with this Jairus. He's a leader in a, he's like a church elder, maybe, in a church. In modern day times, you know, we call him an elder in the church. He says, he ran towards Jesus and he said to Jesus, "My little daughter," and by the way, the little daughter is 12 years of age. My little daughter is dying. Please, please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live. Then Jesus said to him, "All right, I'll go with you." You see, when you know that Jesus is coming with you, you know that a miracle is going to happen. You have the assurance from Jesus that something is going to happen. Your prayers will be answered. Hope is rising at this point of time for this young man, Jairus. He's excited. He's excited because why? Jesus is coming home with him and he knows that a 12-year-old daughter is not going to die. You know, when we pray sometimes, that's what it is. When we pray for certain things, we know we can sense that there's going to be a breakthrough. What happens? Hope rises. Faith rises. But then when we pray, sometimes we have this thing called the interrupted prayers. I love interrupted prayers. Not that I enjoy it, but I always have this thing that sometimes when we pray, somehow God interrupts or something gets interrupted, and then our prayer somehow just doesn't seem to come to pass anymore. So now we have this lady, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. I believe there's a significance there. I mean, whatever that Jesus does, there's no coincidence, just God incidents. The girl was 12 years of age, and this woman here has got 12 years of bleeding issues. Might be a cancer, I don't know. But she suffered for 12 years. And he goes on and says this, "With constant bleeding, she had suffered a great deal for many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse." Sounds familiar? I mean, thank God we got private health, or for those who got private health cover, or those with Medicare and stuff. You know, we are blessed in Australia. Most of medical bills are heavily subsidized. But back in those days, I don't think there is a Medicare there. When she says she spent all her money, she really literally spent all her money. And it didn't get better. That's sometimes we are in that situation as well. We do everything. But then, when we look at our situation, it hasn't changed. And it's gotten worse. And so this lady, she pushed through the crowd. And that's why I said push in. You see, in life there will be crowds in our life. Some of the crowd in our life is to block us from getting close to Jesus. But you need to push in. You need to push in just like this woman, believing that the miracle is just around the corner. I don't know what's the size of the crowd. It could be that size of crowd. I don't know. It's a big crowd. But faith, what does faith look like? Faith is an action word. Faith is what this lady did. You see, she had this bleeding for the last 12 years. She probably already heard about Jesus. I mean, look, Jesus was already in his 30s. He would have heard about Jesus, the Messiah is here. She would have heard about Jesus' ministry over the last couple of years. And she's been waiting. She said, "One day, I'm just going to keep believing and believing." And finally, she got a chance. She pushed in the crowd. And she said this, I believe that if I could just touch just the tip of his robe, I will be healed. You see, faith is something like this. Faith looks like, what does faith look like when you live your life? Because when Jesus comes back and he says, will I find faith? He's saying, how have you been living your life? Is it living a life of faith? That's what he's asking, that question. Will he find faith? So if I ask you this question, if you ask me this question, I give you permission to ask me this kind of question. Jeff, how are you living? Are you living a life of faith? Pushing faith. So he says this. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of a terrible condition. Remember I asked you that question, have you got any unanswered prayers? I tell you, some of you have the faith that can move mountains. But then when it comes to certain things in your own life, you haven't seen a breakthrough. That doesn't mean that you stop praying and believing. You see, when John the Baptist heard that Jesus was around the corner, he was probably hoping that surely Jesus would come and rescue me. But we know the story. He was being beheaded. Oh, look at Peter's life. Or look at Paul's life. How many times were they being flogged and put in prison? Will Jesus find faith when he comes back? Will he find faith in this house? Will he find faith in your house? Will he find faith in your heart? You see, when you have an unanswered prayer, does it mean that you give up hope? Now look at the life of Jairus. Remember Jairus' faith, hope was rising when Jesus promised, yeah, I'm going home with you. And then came this woman who interrupted his prayer. And then he says, oh, sorry, I missed this one. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What made her well? Faith. Faith, the woman had faith in Jesus, and that's why she was made well. So I'm coming now to Jairus. I'll come back to that one later. But let's talk about sinking hope and fading faith for Jairus. You see, Jairus started off with hope. Jesus is coming with him. And then it got interrupted, but the woman showed something. The woman showed faith. Now, why did I say there is some correlation between them? Is this, the woman was 12 years, had been bleeding for the last 12 years. Jairus' daughter is 12 years of age. I believe that Jesus was demonstrating something for Jairus. He was actually helping Jairus to build his faith. Because for the fact that Jesus healed the woman, and he says, your faith has healed you. He is actually saying to Jairus, look, don't lose faith. Because there is a bigger miracle that Jesus needs to do. If the daughter needs to die. I don't know whether the story, that's the way to go. But I know one thing for sure. Nothing happens by chance. So, sinking hope and fading faith. This is what happened to Jairus. He says this. There's a messenger. The messengers came. While he was still speaking to her, the messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. And they said, told him, your daughter is dead. There's no need troubling the teacher now. The crowd. You see, there's some crowd that will stop you from getting close to Jesus. And there's another that comes, another kind of crowd that will cast doubt in your life. It doesn't work anymore, man. You've been praying for all these years. Look at your life. There's no change. You still haven't got a job. Or you've been praying all these years and look at you. Sometimes your parents might say that to you. You're amounting to nothing. You've been wasting all your years going to church and paying tithe or giving this and that. Look where you are now. That's reality, because my mom said that to me when I first started as a Christian. My parents were Buddhists. I was one of those young ones, the first generation Christian. Got converted at 12, backslided at 14. It's like, wow. And then got back to know Jesus again in 18, and then backslided when I was 21 again. All these years, my mom said to me, what are you doing? Why are you spending so much time in church? You see, there will be people who will speak to you and say this to you and say, hey, look, don't waste your time. Crowd. What kind of crowd are you surrounding yourself with? You got to push in. You got to recognize the kind of crowd that is around you. Because if you don't recognize them, the crowd will then crowd you out of your faith. And what did Jesus say when Jesus overheard this? He says, But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. You remember when you had faith, you had hope, you asked me to come and heal your daughter? Remember just like 20 minutes ago? Or half an hour ago? You were also pumped up. You know that I was going home. You know that it was. And now, just because now, didn't you just see how the woman got healed? And just because someone came and says your daughter is dead, you've lost all hope now. Faith is fading. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just have faith. So he went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. You got to push out. You got to flash out those critics in your life. Because even Jesus himself, he didn't allow the critics to stay in the room. Jesus flashed out the critics, the mockers, those who were cast down, those who have nothing good to say. You need to flush them out. Because if you don't, it will rob you of your faith. Flush out the critics in your life. What kind of crowd are you hanging out with? It's so important, because at the end of the day, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? So what is going to be pushing faith is this. Pray until something happens. That's the kind of a pushing faith that we're talking about. You got to pray until something happens. I'm not saying, like, let me repeat that again. Doesn't mean that God will answer all our prayers. God answers our prayers every time. It's either a yes, no, or wait. A no doesn't mean that he hasn't answered your prayer. He's answered your prayer. Will I be able to understand everything? No. But I do know one thing, and I always hold on to this, even back in the days when I was in Singapore, when I was teaching the youth. I said this to them. If you pray, and if you honestly believe that you have prayed and sought God, then whatever the outcome, even though the outcome might be the one that you want it to be, don't lose faith, because God has something better in store. I don't know what it is. It's just like, why did Jesus stop and heal that woman? I mean, if I was in Jairus' mind, I said, get lost, woman. It's like, you're delaying it, my time. You're causing a delay. You're interrupting that prayer. Remember Daniel when he was praying? What happened is, like, the angels had to come in and say, oh, we've been stopped for 21 days. Because there was another battle going on. The prince of Persia was stopping us. And I got to engage Archangel Michael, I think it was, to come and help. I don't know why certain things happen, but I still hang on to this belief and this teaching that I teach my youth back in the days. If you believe you have prayed, whatever the outcome, trust Him. And for some of you, you may know that, you know, Linda might be sometimes here in church and sometimes not in church because she's still on the road to recovery. It's an extended season. We thought it was going to be over in 3 months ago. But now it's the 7th month into it now. We're just going to continue praying and not lose faith. Because my faith is not circumstantial faith. So I'm just going to close if I get the worship team back. Will Jesus find faith in your house? I keep repeating this. Because if you recall the last 2 months, we've been talking about a theme that's been running through. Make room for God or make room for Jesus. I want to add this another dimension. Make room for faith. Make room for hope. Because what does your prayer room look like? Is it all nice and cozy, but never really in use? Do you even have a prayer room? A prayer closet that you go to every day? I don't necessarily mean that you got to lock yourself for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. I'm talking about every day, whether you're in a car, just walking. Do you have a prayer room dedicated to hearing God's voice? Do you have a word robe? You know, in your prayer room, where you have the word of God in there, so that you can trust and commit and claim the promises that God has given to you. Make room for faith. Make room for hope. So in closing, as we start the song, I want to leave you these questions. Do you have any unanswered prayers? How do you respond to them? And will God find faith when He comes? Father, we just want to, as we continue just praying and even partaking in the communion in a while, I pray, God, that You will cause our hearts to just remember that, Lord, that we don't lose faith, that our faith will not be circumstantial faith, but it will be relentless faith, God. That we can say, regardless what happens, I will still believe in You. Shall we stand as we pray?